All right. Welcome aboard. It's Dennis Stuckey's show, and today is Wednesday, right? It's Wednesday today, Matt.
Sure.
Okay.
Why not?
Yeah. It's been a busy week. Look, normally we bring Matt Shook on, talk a little Pistons, maybe we talk about the Lions. But today we're going to at least start off going in kind of a different direction, because you just released a documentary on a kid that plays for Ypsilanti Lincoln. Was a freshman last year. They won the state championship, and this guy is Amani Bates is a guy that people are thinking will play in the NBA sooner than later, and he's just started his sophomore season there. But you did and I saw it today. It's about a 20-minute documentary. What was the reason that you wanted to do this? How long did it take, and who else was involved in this with you?
Yeah, so, as you know, Dennis, I kind of moved back to Michigan about a year and a half ago now, and I've been freelancing here for the Detroit News and the Associated Press, getting a lot of good, steady work. But last year at this time, I had a little bit of a slowdown in some of the work that I was getting from those folks, and just kind of figured that might be the case for basketball season for a little while, and it was fine. But I had some free time to kind of work on some other projects. And at the same time, had another friend who had moved back to Michigan too. And he got me together with a third friend who has become now a friend of mine. And the third friend was this filmmaker named Greg DeLiso. And we just kind of sat down and figured out what are some things that we could do, not even to make money, but just to kind of do some projects together. And this was on like a February weekend of last year. And I said, you know, there's this kid that I've been hearing about in Ypsilanti named Amani Bates. He's supposed to be the best freshman in the country. I've read stories about him, haven't seen him play basketball live yet. Why don't we take a camera, we'll call up the athletic director, we'll get to know some folks around the team and the school, and we'll see if we can do a short, you know, 2 or 3 minute documentary about him, and then we'll start a series of these really small documentaries that we can do once every couple months or something like that. You know, everyone watches the 30 for 30s on ESPN, and obviously that's an inspiration for those kind of things. Well, we got to know EJ Bates, which is Amani's father, who kind of manages a lot of the stuff around him. As you can imagine, more and more stuff continues to grow. And we went to a few games and then had a couple sit-down interviews with EJ and Amani in the Ypsilanti Lincoln gym after they won the state championship last year. Amani's star continues to rise day after day after day. More and more people find out about him. You know, if he goes to college, he's probably going to be a one-and-done. He's one of these LeBron, Michael Jordan types of recruits. Who knows what the end of his story will be and how high he goes up in the basketball world. But, yeah, our 2 or 3 minute project turned into tentacle after tentacle after tentacle, turned into 20 minutes. It turned into the better part of a year with some stops and starts along the way. But, yeah, we finally got it done in about 11 months, and it's 20 minutes, and you can watch it on Vimeo, all my social media channels. We've been throwing it out all week. Over 10,000 people have watched it already in 3 days. So it's getting around the internet, as you can imagine, with someone as high profile as Amani Bates. And I can't say enough about the filmmaker, Greg, my friend, Greg DeLiso, who I worked with on this, and Mike O'Brien, in addition to that, third guy who was kind of a researcher and also helped us with a number of different things along the way. And we put together a nice piece that hopefully folks can check out and enjoy.
I'm going to tell you what, and I'm not just saying this because I like you, and I don't know Greg at all, but it's ESPN quality.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's a real good piece of video or whatever we're calling it, and well written. Did you write this?
Yeah, I wrote the script and did the narration and did the interviews with the Bates crew and kind of served as kind of the manager of the whole thing, and that we got to go here, we got to get this, we got to get this. Mike kind of helped out in that way too. And Greg, as you can see, you know, I don't have any experience sitting at a film editor or putting the music to the script. I mean, you obviously this is Greg that did the technical part of it. He's the director of the whole thing, the creative force in a lot of ways, made most of the musical choices and did all that stuff. But like Dennis is kind of saying, I mean, it's different than a lot of documentaries you'll see on ESPN. You know, it's not the game shots aren't the traditional things you'll see. Greg, this is his first time doing a sports thing. So it's a little bit different of a perspective, but I think it's different in a lot of good ways, and that you see Amani in an environment that isn't just what you would see with Dunk on YouTube and mixtapes and SportsCenter type of stuff. It's different than that, but there's also a surprising arc in the story of him struggling a little bit in a public high school league in Washtenaw County. He has to kind of overcome some things to eventually get to that state championship. And we also talked early on with EJ Bates about making it, his hope was that it would be something that would be a bit of a gift to the city of Ypsilanti and the region that the Bateses live in and grew up in, both EJ and Amani. And I think we took a lot of time and carefully did about the city of Ypsilanti and the region and did that as kind of a tribute to where Amani's from, because it gives you a pretty good understanding of who this kid is. And if he blows up into being, I know it's sacrilegious to throw the names LeBron out there and whatnot, but if he becomes one of those guys, what it might mean for the town of Ypsilanti.
15 years old, and he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated last October. Is that did that happen before you guys started this, or was that something that led you to starting this project, saying, hey, there's something to this kid. He's been in Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, no. That was well after. I mean, we were done with all the filming, pretty much all the filming, other than some stings here and there at that point. So we that was like another thing where I found out about it and texted Greg and said, hey, man, we gotta get this thing out, because this is a hot topic that people are talking about. He's on Sports Illustrated, so people are going to be wanting to find out. It was kind of a nice timing to get it in before he's into his sophomore year now. He's about halfway through the season, and I think people, the narrative is changing every day, and that now the news is that he might reclassify and finish high school after next year, and then go to college, presumably to be a one and done for one season, as opposed to staying 4 years at Ypsilanti Lincoln and hoping that the NBA in 2022, which is probably what's going to happen in 2022 when the collective bargaining agreement expires and they come up with a new one, the indications is that the winds of change are going to come back to where you can probably go straight from high school to college again, starting in the year that he's right now scheduled to finish high school. But like I said, if he reclassifies, like a lot of the kids are doing these days, the top kids, he might then just go find himself back to being a one and done, just like they are now, and possibly go into a school like Michigan or Michigan State.
The whole, and this is kind of off topic just for a second, but the whole one and done thing, I mean, it's just the NCAA trying to make money off of a guy for a year. I mean, if you're good enough out of high school to go play in the NBA, if you're truly good enough, nobody should be able to stop you from that.
Yep. Yeah, you're right. And I think that the answer to this, because there is another side of that to where a lot of kids back then, we all know about LeBron James and Kobe Bryant, but there's a lot of kids that slipped through the cracks and either didn't get drafted. Corleone Young, second-round pick for the Detroit Pistons, who never amounted into anything. The NBA would tell you we are trying to save some of those kids from falling through the cracks before they even get a chance to go to do any kind of college. But, of course, it helps the NBA to have established stars coming in. If Zion Williamson wasn't a brand name by the time he came to the New Orleans Pelicans, we wouldn't care that much that he was making his rookie debut last year. He wouldn't have the huge shoe deal. So, yeah, it helps out the NBA more so than it helps out the kids. But I think that the middle ground, the thing that could make this viable and work out for all parties going forward, is if you can make the G League kind of a viable way for kids to make money, so that they know, if I fall through the cracks, if I decide that I want to go pro and I'm not quite ready for the NBA and I'm not even drafted in the first round, maybe there's a way for me to make something close to a six-figure contract, even if I'm not one of the top guys in the G League, so I can still make a decent living while I'm trying to still develop to get to the point where I'm making millions in the NBA.
All right, let's get back to Amani Bates. Freshman, I can give you stats, but I want you to tell me what kind of a kid he actually is. 28.7 points a game, 10.2 rebounds a game as a freshman. They went 21-4, won the state championship. He carries a 3.10 grade average. I learned in the documentary that he likes geometry, which that puts him miles ahead of me. And depending on which website I went to, MSU, Kentucky, and Michigan are all very interested in this kid coming and playing for him if he decides the college route, if that's the way he's got to go. And then I was just kind of looking to see what he'd done so far this year, and I couldn't find a ton of numbers, but the other night he scored 31 against Okemos. He had 50 points just in the first two games of the season. Don't know what he did last night against Tecumseh, but they won big, so I'm going to assume that he was either out early and didn't put up huge numbers, or he did a lot of damage early and they didn't need him later.
Well, you saw that final score against Tecumseh. I saw a highlight from that game already today, and it was of him on a fast break, and he tries a, during the game, he tries a between-the-legs dunk on a fast break, actually missed it, threw it off the heel, the ball went high up in the air, managed to track down that rebound on the baseline, dribbled back to the three-point line, and knocked down a three instead. So that was what that's what's going on with Imani Bates in public high school games in Washtenaw County. There was an article in the Detroit News, Dave Gricke did it last week, saying that E.J. Bates was quoted as talking about how he's irritated that they weren't able to move Ypsilanti Lincoln into the top division of the OK, the division in Washtenaw County. So if you can imagine that, we have Imani Bates playing against the second level of public school teams in Washtenaw County right now. So really, there's only going to be a handful of games that he's going to be challenged this year during the regular season. And, of course, trying to repeat the Division I state championship, that's going to be tough for the team and for him as a player. You know, they don't just hand out state championships. So there will be some tough times. There will be some challenges. But the regular season, they lost their opener to River Rouge, a very good team. But since then, you know, have kind of beaten down a lot of teams. And there are some tough ones coming up. Martin Luther King Day would be a good game to go to, I think, up against Edison. They're playing a bunch of games at Eastern Michigan to accommodate big crowds in February and also late January as well. So, I mean, I know it's a drive from the Blue Water area to Ypsilanti, but it's one of those things where you 5 years from now, you might say, man, this kid was playing hour plus drive from where I lived in high school and I didn't get the chance to go see him. It might be worth a trip if you're a sports fan to go see him live as a high school player.
Now, in our area, the big name for the last several years has been Romeo Weems.
Mm-hmm.
How far apart are these two players? For people who've seen Romeo, it'll give them an idea.
Yeah, Romeo Weems, Mr. Basketball last year, and a guy who could have gone and played in pretty much anywhere collegiately and chose DePaul, like you said. But, you know, the difference between a guy who's on the cover of Sports Illustrated and a guy who's starting every game in the Big East and being a strong contributor for DePaul so far this season, it's really big. I mean, Imani Bates is going to be the best player on his college team the minute he walks onto campus. To give you an idea, I mean, we're talking about a 6'9" kid who prefers to shoot. There's all the Kevin Durant comparisons because he's so long. It's impossible to challenge that jump shot. It's as pure as you can imagine a 16-year-old kid at this point to be. The dunking's there. The intensity's there. They call him E-Monster, as they talked about in the documentary. He's got a little Kobe Bryant intensity with the Kevin Durant skill set and size. It's everything that you could want as far as a 15- or 16-year-old kid. But that being said, still 16-year-old kid at this point. Injuries are a thing. The way that the body develops, the way that your life develops. I mean, there's a lot of things that could go wrong, as we know. And I think he's in a really good position to stay on the right side of things and to get where he wants to go. But to have a margin for error where your lofty comparisons are guys like Michael, Magic, and LeBron, that's a pretty high place to put the target. So, you know, we'll see how it transpires, but I think he's in a good shape to fulfill a lot of the expectations, if not all of the expectations.
All right, good stuff. And again, a really nice piece of work. You guys should really be proud of that. And you know how tough it is to get a compliment from me.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Dennis. And like I said, a lot of the credit obviously goes to Greg DeLisa. If you know me, you know I wasn't, working on a film editor to get all that stuff together. He's a genius. He did a great job with it. And, it's on Vimeo. You can search for it. Ipsy's Imani on Vimeo. But we'll also, I'll definitely tell Dennis, and we'll talk about it at a later date, about some possible screenings we might do around Detroit if folks want to come down and see it.
All right, good stuff. Before I let you go, again, we had the Andre Drummond rumors last week. And then the other night against New Orleans, They take him out with about 3.5 minutes to go in the third quarter in a game that ended up going to overtime, Matt, and he didn't play again. Sat out the whole fourth quarter and the OT. What's going on here? What's the latest?
Yeah, I think that Dwayne Casey knows that Andre Drummond's time in Detroit is short, whether he's traded at this trade deadline or possibly moved this summer if he does pick up his player option. And I think he's just establishing a tone that, you know, you're not going to float through these next couple weeks. You're not going to play selfishly. You're going to have to play hard defensively. And I don't anticipate that Andre Drummond's going to be benched for a game, here and there, or sat down for every fourth quarter or anything like that. I would imagine that he continues his normal role as a starter and playing a lot of minutes for the Pistons until he gets moved. But yeah, I think that they were just trying to lay the ground rules of establishing that, not only, and I went to practice yesterday, Dwayne Casey said this, that you're making tape for 29 teams out there, and you're trying to show that you have value, and especially as a guy who hopes to go out and sign a 9-figure contract this summer with a team, whoever that is, that's really important to maintain that professionalism, and that wasn't a performance that did that for Andre Drummond, especially a couple nights after he got ejected on Saturday night against the Bulls. So it's a tough time for the Pistons. This is not a good situation. Obviously, if you're a Pistons fan, you hope for the best outcome, whether that's trades or whatever they do. But Dwayne Casey's trying to get a hold of this situation, and we'll see how it all turns out. But I think for his part, he's probably doing the best he can.
Yeah. All right. Pistons and the Celtics tonight, by the way, here on WPHM. So it's going to cut my show short because we'll get them going at 6:35. But Matt, tell them about the podcast.
Yeah, Locked On Pistons. We got a spike in listeners right now because everyone wants to know what's going on with the trade deadline. So we're talking about that pretty much every day. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon, wherever you get podcasts, check us out. Locked On Pistons. And thanks, Dennis, for having me on every week. It's been great to promote all the stuff and talk sports with you.
Well, you do a good job. So as long as you keep doing a good job, you can keep coming on.
I appreciate it. We'll see you soon.
All right. We'll talk to you.
Later.
There's Matt Shook, and again, check out the little documentary that they did. It's 20 minutes long. It's about this kid, Imani Bates, and it was really well done. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more.